This is the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl with headlines. The latest half-cocked effort to recall Governor Jared Polis flamed out on Friday when no signatures were delivered to the Secretary of State's office. The effort would have needed to submit 631,000 valid signatures to force a recall election. Organizers have dodged questions from the media and their own supporters about how many signatures they did gather. Tri-State Generation and Transmission Association, an electricity wholesaler that provides power to 17 rural electric cooperatives across Colorado, announced it plans to cut 80% of their greenhouse gas emissions from electricity sales in the state by 2030. Tri-State closed its coal-fired power plant in Nuclo last year and plans to close one coal-fired unit in Craig by 2025. Colorado's second largest power provider will be meeting its new goals by increasing production of wind, the cheapest form of energy in the state, and solar energy with battery storage. San Juan County Commissioner Scott Fetchenhire said in a statement, quote, "San Juan County and other rural Colorado communities have been pushing Tri-State for more ambitious climate action, and we're very pleased that they're listening. I hope this will also result in lower rates for co-op members and that it will result in new energy economy jobs for rural Colorado." Tri-State still has shares of coal-fired power plants in Wyoming and Arizona, with no plans to close them. Climate advocates on President-elect Joe Biden's transition team are reportedly encouraging him to reverse the Trump administration's relocation of the Bureau of Land Management's headquarters from Washington, D.C. to Grand Junction. A memo outlining changes needed at the Interior Department said bringing the agency's headquarters back to the Capitol would boost employee morale after, quote, 4 years of targeted political interference and efforts to cut budgets and demoralize and drive out career staff. According to E&E News, the plan will include trying to rehire or transfer senior career staff that left BLM as a result of the move to Colorado. Last week, KVNF reported the impact of the public lands bill championed by outgoing U.S. Senator Cory Gardner is being questioned by advocates who worry it was little more than an election year stunt that failed to help Gardner's electoral chances and won't end up conserving much land. That concern mounted on Friday, according to Colorado Newsline, after an order issued by the Trump administration made major changes to the federal conservation program funded by the bill. Interior Secretary David Bernhardt, Colorado native and longtime oil and gas lobbyist, has added a new requirement on land acquisition deals financed by the Land and Water Conservation Fund that grants governors and county officials veto authority to projects proposed within their states. It's a major departure for the program and considered a victory for conservative interest groups who oppose government efforts to acquire new public lands. Governor Jared Polis is ordering Colorado hospitals to submit new plans for how to handle a surge of coronavirus patients. Capitol Coverage reporter Scott Franz has more.
Hospitals have until the end of week to detail how they could increase the number of ICU beds by 50%. Polis says he is also considering an order to cancel all non-critical surgeries.
The situation for surge capacity is becoming very real every day in our state.
Polis says using three large alternative care sites, such as the Convention Center in Denver, is a, quote, last resort. But he thinks it is becoming a more likely scenario as cases and hospitalizations continue to rise. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
KVNF will speak with Delta County Memorial Hospital about their plans later this week. Thursday, the United States Geological Survey released a much-anticipated tool that maps wildlife migrations in the region. As Mountain West News Bureau's Maggie Mullen reports, the tool is the first of its kind.
Back in 2018, the USGS and several states in our region formed the Corridor Mapping Team. The idea was to get scientists from across different agencies to work together to map out where and when exactly animals like pronghorn and elk move across the landscape.
They're encountering increasing traffic levels on our roads and highways.
That's Matthew Kaufman. He's one of the wildlife biologists behind the project.
They run into oil and gas development, and then increasingly in the West, you know, some of these landscapes are being subdivided. And of course, once those landscapes become developed, they're much more difficult for animals to move through.
He says the map will be a powerful tool in keeping wildlife corridors functional. Next year, the group expects to release a second volume that will detail even more corridors across western states. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Maggie Mullen.
Colorado task forces are seeking stories from local producers who've been affected by drought. KVNF's Corey Stanton reports.
Year after year, Colorado continues to face hotter and drier conditions. During the pandemic, Colorado's Drought and Agriculture Impact Task Forces have teamed up to create a virtual drought tour, and they're asking Colorado producers to share their stories. To find out more, KVNF talked with Reagan Wascom, director of the Colorado Water Institute at Colorado State University.
What we're asking producers to do, and we would love it if some of your listeners would help us out here, is participate in what we're calling a virtual drought tour. So if you would go to the website engagecwcb.org, there is a website there where we're asking producers to share their story about the drought. Tell us how you've survived it. Tell us how you've innovated. What is your story? How has it impacted you personally, your family, your farm, your operation? We're doing this so that the public can understand how Colorado weathers drought and the importance of our agricultural system. So I just really want to encourage your producers to go up to engagecwcb.org and tell us their story.
In addition to sharing your drought stories, you can find more information on Colorado's water resources, track reservoir storage and snowpack conditions at cwcb.colorado.gov. For KVNF News, I'm Corey Stanton.
Nearly 2,000 people in Gunnison and Hinsdale counties were without any form of long-distance communication for about 10 hours on Thursday. KBUT's Chris Biddle has more.
Emergency officials coordinated with KBUT to direct the public to travel in person to fire stations, government buildings, and healthcare facilities where people could radio for help in case of an emergency. Law enforcement dispersed throughout the region, making themselves visible and available to the public. Emergency Management Director Scott Morrill said there were a few dispatches made, but nothing that required a rapid response.
And it seemed to work pretty well, and so there was a couple of instances where those government folks got flagged down and reported an emergency, and it didn't sound like it was anything too serious. It was not ideal, but it worked.
While there were no major emergencies, the disruption was felt by many in the community. LaDonna Garcia says her daughter can't attend in-person schooling because of an immune deficiency. She works with other students and parents in a learning pod, which involves online learning, which wasn't available on Thursday.
So, I mean, it was extremely difficult. But what I will tell you is I just put my head together and said, well, let's do some social studies. Let's make a map. Let's do some reading. I'm trying to keep them entertained and educated as best as we possibly can.
Gunnison County has long had issues with broadband service, often losing coverage for prolonged periods due to severed cables elsewhere in the state. Cell phones were useless during a surprise winter storm in September that knocked swaths of leaf-laden trees to the ground and knocked out power to thousands of homes. According to Region 10 broadband coordinator Virgil Turner, the completion of a redundant fiber optic cable set to run over Cottonwood Pass has been stalled due to the pandemic. For KBUT News, I'm Christopher Biddle.
That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Thanks for listening.